Jesus is Lord, and He is our Redeemer. And my prayer is that every person in this room has experienced that redemption. Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, as the choir just sang, and that that brings joy and rejoicing to your life. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We looked at this passage last Sunday and we talked about how Paul is talking here to us about what it means to be a gospel missionary. And we looked at three of those characteristics of being a gospel missionary last week, and we're going to look at the last three this week. But what I'd like for us to do is to walk through this passage one more time, and then I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about what it means to be a gospel missionary. If you don't get the idea by now, my goal is to convince you that you are a gospel missionary if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've placed your faith and trust in Him, that you are a missionary. God doesn't necessarily have to call you to a foreign country to be a missionary. God doesn't have to call you to people who speak a different language than you speak to be a foreign missionary. Sometimes, to be a missionary means to walk across the street in your community to minister and to share Christ with a neighbor. Sometimes it means looking at your community and looking at opportunities that you have to minister and share the gospel around you. It means looking at those you work with as the opportunities that God presents you day after day to be able to say something positive about Jesus Christ and something about how they can have a relationship with Him. We can be missionaries anywhere, anytime, any place. And as believers, when we gave our hearts to Jesus, we signed up to be a missionary. And that's what Paul is saying here, I believe, in this passage. Notice what he says, starting in verse 1. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles," and then he changes his direction a little bit. I think what we find from verse 2 until verse 13, Paul digresses from what he had planned to say, and he got all caught up in chasing a rabbit. And in verses 2 through 13, he chases this rabbit to help us to understand about our relationship with God, about God's grace, about the great mystery of the church, about what it means to be a gospel missionary. Notice what he says in verse 2. "Assuming you have heard about the administration of God's grace that He gave me for you, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel." Notice, Paul says, "I was made a servant of this gospel. And I was made, and by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of His power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ, and to shed light on all, for all, about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to His eternal purpose, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. So then, I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory." You recall the the first characteristic of a gospel missionary is a missionary who's been called by God to a certain place, to a certain people. Paul had been called by God there on the road to Damascus when he gave his Jesus Christ confronted him as he was on his way to persecute the church. Something happened in Paul's life, and Jesus Christ changed him. And through the process of time, Paul understood that his calling was to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He was actually to be a missionary of the gospel to the Gentiles, and that's what he's saying about here. And when he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus," actually, we would step back and look at what was going on in Paul's life and understand that actually he was in custody, the custody of Caesar. He was in a house, under house arrest, waiting for Caesar to hear his case. All the world would say that Paul was being held captive by Caesar. But that was not the case in Paul's mind and in Paul's heart. He was a captive of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a prisoner of Caesar. He was a prisoner of Jesus. He was exactly where Jesus wanted him to be. I hope you understand that being a missionary isn't dependent upon conditions or environment or situations that we face. Being a missionary is sometimes being a missionary in spite of those conditions, in spite of those situations, in spite of that environment. And that's where Paul was. Paul understood that he had the opportunity to share Christ with every guard that came and was chained to him day after day after day. Paul understood that he could be a missionary to those who would come into his home and there, while he was in captivity, be able to preach the gospel even there. Paul looked at the situation and circumstances around him, not as a hindrance to being a missionary, but as an opportunity to be a missionary where God had placed him. I don't know where you might be today, but as a Christian, I hope you look at wherever God has placed you, wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever kinds of people you are around the most, whoever God brings into your life, I hope that you see those in a missionary sense as an opportunity to share the gospel and the love of Jesus with those people that come into your frame of reference. So Paul was a missionary. First characteristic was God called him to a place and to a people. He was a missionary to the Gentiles. Have you ever really done any serious consideration about where God has called you and who has God called you to? And are you spending most of your time sort of looking for the next place, looking for the next person and overlooking the very people that God has for you to share right here and now? Sometimes we're guilty of that. Missionaries are called to a place and to a people. But also we notice here in this passage that missionaries are called to share a Christ-centered message. Paul talked about it as a mystery. And it was a mystery of Christ. And this mystery that Paul talked about was a mystery that had been withheld from generations. And nobody had really been revealed it until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Now, the Old Testament did look forward to the cross. The Old Testament did talk about the Messiah who would come. But one thing that the church did not fully reveal, or the Old Testament fully revealed, was the church. And here Paul is saying, look, this is a great mystery. This is something we had not been anticipating in the Old Testament, but now it is made real. God has come to establish the church through Jesus Christ, and the church is going to be made up of Jews and Gentiles alike who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And there's no longer Jews and Gentiles and Greeks and barbarians, but there are folks who have been saved by the grace of God, and they become one people, and that one people has become the body of Christ, the church. That was the mystery. And that's the center of the message, missionary message. Hope you never get tired of talking about Jesus. And then Paul talked about how a missionary is overwhelmed by the grace of God. Over and over again in this passage, Paul points to grace. He talks about him being an administrator of God's grace. He talks about being saved by God's grace. He talks that even though he's experienced God's grace, he's the least of all saints. You see, he understood that that day on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ changed his life, all the work that was done in his life that day was done by God's grace, nothing that he had earned. In fact, he was going in a totally different direction, and God turned him around by his grace. And his grace transformed him and overwhelmed his life, and he never got over it. I'm afraid sometimes we as believers have gotten over the grace of God. You know the way I know that I'm having trouble understanding the magnificence of the grace of God? It's when I become judgmental and critical of my Christian brothers. And I forget about all that God has forgiven me of. And I forget that I'm the least of the saints. And I look around and wonder why the other saints can't be as good as I am. Grace will always humble you. And if you're proud of how much grace has God given to you, you have not really experienced grace yet. And here Paul says the characteristic of a missionary is he never gets over God's grace. Never gets over it. But there's three other characteristics I want us to see here this morning about being a gospel missionary. One is that a gospel missionary is always focused on proclaiming the unsearchable, the incalculable riches of Christ. Paul was so impressed with the message of Jesus that he could never be quiet about it. He never ran out of anything to say about Jesus. Just read his letters to the churches. Read about his ministry to the churches he founded in the book of Acts. He looked for every opportunity to brag on Jesus, to talk about what Jesus had done in his life, and to let everyone know that what Jesus has done in his life, Jesus could do in their life. He found that talking about Jesus was just inexhaustible. And every time he came into contact with someone, no matter what the topic of conversation, it always led to talking about Jesus. When's the last time you bragged about Jesus to somebody? Sometimes we don't understand that that's our job. Really, when you get right down to it, a missionary's job is to brag on Jesus every chance and opportunity they have. And what we need to understand is people who have come together here at Christ Church to be the church that he wants us to be is that we need to be engaged in bragging on Jesus to our friends and our neighbors and bragging on Jesus everywhere we go. I've heard some of your stories. Some of you guys brag on Jesus as you're laying on a gurney going to the operating room. Some of you have bragged on Jesus as that phlebotomist comes in and tries to get all your blood. Some of you brag on Jesus at a baseball game, sitting beside someone you've just met. Some of you brag on Jesus in a restaurant to the waitress or to the waiter or to the server. Some of you brag on Jesus in your community as you walk around your neighborhood. We need to look at all sorts of opportunities as gospel missionaries to brag on Jesus because they are unsearchable. They're incalculable. In fact, Paul came up with a unique Greek word for this to describe this. He thought about all the things you could say about Jesus, and he couldn't use any of the words already in the dictionary, but he composed a Greek word for incalculable. You cannot It cannot end. It's not exhaustible. It goes beyond. There's always something else to say. A missionary, a gospel missionary, is one who brags on Jesus. I want you to think this morning. Has God brought somebody into your life? Someone that you know or that you question where their spiritual relationship is with the Lord? And maybe God is saying, here's your first opportunity is to be a gospel missionary to them. Our job, Paul says, is to shed light on the mystery. It is a mystery. It's mysterious to think that God would love us so much that he would send his only son to die on a cross and to take our place, to accept what should be coming to us, his wrath and his punishment. And yet he placed it all on his son Jesus. And he said, there, that's my grace. It's mysterious. You didn't earn it and you didn't deserve it. But here it is. Will you accept it? Have you accepted it? A missionary has a high view of the church. A high view of the church. Notice what Paul said in verse 10. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church. You cannot have a high view of Jesus without also having a high view of his bride, the church. It's important for us to understand that as we brag on Jesus and as we do all that we can to help others understand who Jesus is, our focus is to connect them with the body of Christ, which is the church here and now that can make a difference in their life. I'm afraid today we live in a lowered expectation about the church. We have forgotten how special this thing that God did through Jesus Christ and the planting of churches and the church coming together and being made up of everybody, no matter what their ethnic background is, no matter where they come from, where the main thing that brings them together, the only thing that really brings them together first, is their relationship with Jesus. And then when we come together, that's what we see in one another. We see our common relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we have forgotten how special that is. Sometimes we like to talk about the church in derogatory terms. And, you know, I've heard this said a lot of times, and I've said it. Church would be great if it wasn't for the people. I'm just glad I'm not one of them. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we downgrade the church. But what we need to understand here is that a missionary never downgrades the church. The church is where the missionary wants to bring people to find brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's the place where they get discipled. It's the place where they get encouraged. It's the place where they worship together. It's the place where they learn more and more about who Jesus Christ is. It's the place where they understand what it is to live like Jesus. It's the place where they discover examples of other people who are living out the gospel in their life. And their life would be much, much poorer spiritually if it wasn't for the church. And what we need to do today is to take the church as seriously as Paul talks about it here when he says that God brought about the church to be an example of his multifaceted wisdom And the wisdom was this. God says, I changed your life and I gave you new life. And I brought you with a lot of other people where the same thing has happened to them, so that you can help them and they can help you. And you can become more like my son, Jesus, who died for you every day. A negative view of the church just doesn't go along with being a missionary. Notice another thing Paul says here. And this I've thought about this for a couple of weeks. He says, this multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. Now, who are the rulers and authorities in the heavens? You know what I believe Paul is saying here? He's saying, you know, even the angels, look at what God is doing with this concept of the church. And they look at how God is bringing people together. And the angels of heaven that rejoice when one comes to know Jesus, they look at what's going on and they just sort of sit back and look at what God's doing in the church and they go, wow, God, way to go. Way to go. You see, God didn't pick the Israelite nation to be where everyone came to when they gave their faith to Jesus. They didn't become Jews. They became Christ followers. And they became part of the church. And God created the church for them. Jews, Gentiles, everyone. And that's true of us. And heaven, the rulers of heaven, the angels step back and they look at what's going on in the church and they go, man, what a great idea, God. This is really going to work. But you know, when Satan looks at the church, he trembles. You really believe that? I think he does. I think Satan trembles when he sees a church get together to worship. That's why he's trying to disrupt so much in our churches. That's why he's trying to disrupt not only lives of pastors and their families and lives of people in our churches, because he knows when the church gets together to worship, when the church gets together and really becomes the kind of church that God wants it to be, he knows that he has lost, and he trembles at what God can do through a group of people who will actually give all of their life, give everything that they are to God. He trembles. We need to get together and just determine that we'll be the kind of church that causes heaven to go, wow, and Satan to go, oh me and oh my. The last thing that Paul says here that characterizes a missionary, a gospel missionary, is in verse 12. In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. We have bold, confident access to him. No situation, no circumstance we ever face, we ever go through, that we have to face by ourselves. We are never alone. He never leaves us alone. He's promised in his word that he will never forsake us, that he'll never desert us, that those of us who placed our faith and our trust in Jesus, by that faith, we will always have access to the presence of Almighty God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. And that means that if there's no experience, no situation we'll ever face alone and without him. As missionaries, we have that confident expectation, that assurance that we're not by ourselves. That God is always available. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And sometimes our emotions push back against it. But our faith and our trust in Jesus, when we come to that point where we understand that I trust Him and I'm put my faith in Him, convinces us that we are never, never alone. We have access to the Father. I tell you what, it's a really comforting thing when I stand with a family who is standing over a passing of a loved one, and to be able to say that this is not the end. And just because they're gone doesn't mean God is gone. And we find our hope in a God that is always available to us and never withdraws and never deserts and is always there to give us strength and help in our time of need. I don't know what kind of situation you may be facing today. And you may be saying, Pastor, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't feel like being a missionary now. Let's move on. Okay. But you know, Spurgeon was right when he said, you are either a missionary or an imposter. Which are you? And would you say, God, you know where I am emotionally? God, come and strengthen me and help me and bring me to the point where I'll be willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. I will be a missionary where you send me. Maybe that's what you need to pray. Maybe this morning you just need to pray, God, help me to see the opportunities that you put in front of me and help me take advantage of the opportunities that you point out to me. But God has called us all to be missionaries of the gospel. And I challenge you to join me in that. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that though you can make the rocks cry out and you could find a lot of different ways to get your message out, you have chosen to choose us to be your instruments and to be your spokesman and to spread the gospel, not only in what we say, but in how we live. And so, Father, help us to make that commitment today, afresh and anew, to be gospel missionaries to those around us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.